In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer wrote that in times past, the Lord our God, He spoke to the fathers through the prophets, who has in these last days spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. But I think about that times past in various ways, how God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. And then God would speak to these prophets. They would hear God. They would know what God is saying and what God commanded. And over the years, many, many, many people were recorded as being a people of faith. They heard. They had faith. They heard. They took that faith and they obeyed. And those are the kinds of people that we want to talk about tonight. As we think about faith in the world that we live in today and how we need to know that our faith can overcome. Our faith can overcome any obstacle. And you know, faith, it overcomes the world. And when we ask the question, well, what is the kind of faith that saves? And very simply, I would say that faith, just believing something as simple as God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's pretty straightforward. So if you believe in God, obey God. Simple faith. Believe and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. For the repentance, that's what we do. It's just simple, simple faith. But when we think about what kind of faith leads people to the saving of their souls, they're the kind of people that don't draw back. You know, their faith isn't like the faith that James talks about in the first chapter of James, right? When he says that if a man asks, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that asks like without faith, he's that man that's wavering like the waves of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. No, we're talking about people that they ask of God, they look for answers, and then when they get them, they don't draw back. They believe unto the saving of their souls. It's the kind of faith that pleases God. It's the kind of faith that is according to the very words of the Creator. And when we do what He has asked us to do, that kind of faith just pleases God. It's that faith that embraces the promises of God. For the people we're going to look at mostly tonight, they lived by that kind of faith. God made promises and they trusted God. They overcame nations by trusting God. They overcame sickness and death by trusting God. They overcame enemies, powerful enemies, by trusting God. Today, we have great and precious promises that we need to lean upon and embrace the fact that we live in, under by the blood of a risen Savior, the fact that our risen Savior has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God Almighty on His throne, and the fact that that Savior is the intercessor for us. He's the propitiation for our sins. That Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one who hears us and relays all of our needs and wants and our feelings and emotions, things that sometimes we can't even utter ourselves, but He responds to the Spirit. He hears us. He can relate to us. And He gives all that to God the Father on our behalf. We need that kind of faith that embraces the fact and the promise that Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also. That's the kind of faith that we want to embrace. Faith that's based upon the promises of God. And when we think about that kind of faith, what kind of faith is that? It's faith that says, I can do all things through Him or Christ who gives me strength. That's the kind of faith it is. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. It's the kind of faith that you read about in Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 21. that kind of faith where we say, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's the faith. You know, it doesn't matter what the world throws at me. It doesn't matter if I'm going to die of the flu, or if I'm going to die of a heart attack, or if I'm going to die unexpected. It doesn't matter. All that matters is to live in Christ. And live as Christ, and to die is gain. And we're talking about a powerful faith. We're talking about a saving faith. We're talking about a faith. It's the shield of faith which is able to quench all those fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 16. It's faith. Moving faith. Faith in the words of the mighty Creator. The words of God written down for every one of us. It's the kind of faith that just overcomes the world. Whatever the world throws at you, this faith can defeat it. The world tries to put you into a downward spiral, and you know what? The faith, it just pushes you right back up. The world wants to take away your peace. The faith gives you greater peace. That's the kind of faith. Moving, powerful faith. And of this kind of faith, this is what the apostle wrote, John. He said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? Look, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see it? Simple faith. You know, in the last half of chapter 11 of Hebrews, we're reminded about some Old Testament characters, those whose faith made it able for them to overcome the world around them at that time. And listen, I think that world around them was much more difficult than the world around me. I mean, what do I struggle with here today? I struggle with putting the right date up, getting here on time, getting my message straight, slides that aren't quite right. You know, I worked through the day and only got one bite of my chicken for lunch. It was really good, but you know, what am I? I have nothing to complain about. But that kind of faith that they had is the faith that overcomes tremendous hardships, powerful enemies, kingdoms, unimaginable fears and threats. That's faith. And to see how that faith is working, how we want to notice that, you know, we think about Moses himself and his parents. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning at verse 23, we read about the faith in the generations of Exodus, his parents. You know, he had amazing parents. And they did things by faith. When you think about what they did for Moses, and you read how they hid Moses 3 months until they just couldn't hide him anymore. And as we go through this, we'll understand why they hid them. Why did they hide him? But they hid Moses for 3 months. And when they couldn't hold him anymore, they couldn't hide him anymore, what did they do? You know, the mother went out, she took reeds and made an ark out of bulrushes, actually. And then she pitched that ark, or dubbed it, with asphalt. And then she put Moses, the baby Moses, in that ark on the Nile River. Now, you young people, listen, the Nile River sounds like fun. Let's go swimming in the Nile. But when you think about the Nile, do you know that the Nile River is filled with things like asps, snakes, poisonous snakes? Lots of them. The Nile River is filled with big spiders. That is a big spider. Poisonous. The Nile River is filled with crocodiles. Big crocodile. You know what that crocodile has in his mouth, don't you? A zebra. Bigger than you. That Nile River is not the safest place in the world. They have hippopotamuses in the Nile River. Hippopotamuses that could just swallow you whole. Yeah, the Nile. When you think about the Nile River and she put them in there, that was an act of faith. Because they lived there. They would have known about all these dangers. And there's many, many more things that would be in that river. Not just the snakes and the spiders. Many more. But wait. When you think about that, at the top of all these natural dangers that you see in and around the Nile River, the snakes, the spiders, the huge aggressive animals like the hippos and the crocodiles, and the unfriendly Egyptians, the Bible tells us, with all that going on, that they were not afraid. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's command. Pharaoh's command was simple. Every son who is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the river. And they didn't mean in an ark. They meant kill him. Crocodile food. Hippo food. And every daughter you shall save alive. Their faith gave them the ability to overcome the world, to have courage to do what they did. Think about it. Such a small beginning of faith for Moses himself. They overcame the world of Egypt, that known world. But what about Moses? You know, you can't get through this book without thinking about Moses and the faith that he had. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Hebrews chapter 11. He didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible tells us in that text, if you happen to be looking at that, Hebrews chapter 11, that it was by faith that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. At that ripe age, he was around 40 years old, he refused to be called. He's raised in Pharaoh's household. But the Scripture tells us that he chose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than enjoy this sin and the temporary pleasures that surrounded him. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ better than to enjoy the sins of temporary pleasure. That's faith. And I think it's worth noting that through faith, it says he looked to the reward. You know, you stop right there and walk right out the door because that's all we need to know. In a very simplistic way, we need to be looking to the reward. Because that's going to sustain our faith as we study and contemplate the reward. That time in which the Lord will take us up home into heaven. There's no reason at all to draw back. And it tells us that he forsook Egypt. Hebrews 11 and 27. It wasn't because of the wrath of the king of Egypt. It was not none of those things. It tells us that he forsook Egypt. He decided that this isn't for me. Through faith he endured, it says. You know, Matthew chapter 10 at verse 28, the Lord Jesus, he tells us that we want to fear him that's invisible. Not to fear those who can destroy the body, but to fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. That's And Moses, he wasn't afraid of this earthly king. In fact, after all is said and done, and Moses was chosen by God along with Aaron to confront this king, when it's all said and done, Moses disobeyed that king so many times. When he, especially in the end, when the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and 28 that he kept the Passover as the Lord had commanded. The angel of death is coming. And if you don't have that blood on the lintels of your doorpost, you're going to die. Firstborn in your house, die. And he believed God. He didn't want to have the firstborn death. You read about that in Exodus chapter 12. He had Israel sprinkle blood of the lamb on the lintels of his doorpost. By faith, Moses overcame the world. You think about that. We don't need to fear anyone or anything in this world. We don't need to fear the people that we work with and many people, they fear the police, they fear firemen, they fear soldiers, they fear government, they fear kind of everything. It's a shame because, right, we don't walk in fear. We understand what it means that there's only one that we need to fear, and that's God. He who is able to destroy both the body and the soul. And so think about that. The faith of the nation of Israel is there too. You know, they did eventually leave Egypt, led out by the powerful hand of God, using Moses and Aaron to lead the way. And they left Egypt, left the king, and left everything behind. You know, they kind of gathered up everything they could get, but they left to go somewhere that they didn't know where they were going. But that nation left. The people left. Israel, they left. And then when they left, you know, you remember the Red Sea, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, it very clearly states, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so drowned. They passed through the Red Sea. They walked right through it on dry land. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 and following. And they did it by faith. And the Egyptians, they followed. And I guess you could say it wasn't by faith, because they perished. But listen, when you think about the Red Sea, look at the picture up here. Red Sea. And there's kind of an artistic rendition of what it would have been like. Thousands and thousands of Hebrews walking through or between the walls of water in the Red Sea. Dry land. But as you're looking at that, I want you to bring it all together, and I want you to put that in terms that you can understand. Perspective. Like we talked this morning. So let's say you're on your way to take the kids to school, you're on your way to work, and this is how you got to get there. Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. That takes faith. It takes faith. I mean, you're going to start going, and then you're going to start thinking, is this really going to hold up? But we're not a people who draw back. We have the right perspective. We know that God is all powerful. We know that God is omniscient. We know that God is ever present, that He sees us going through all this, and we know He's going to take care of us because we're walking by faith. What about the city of Jericho? How was that destroyed? By faith. God told them what to do. You march around seven times. On the seventh time, you know, they're going to blow the trumpets and shout. Guess what's going to happen? The walls are going to come tumbling down. Just come tumbling down. And that's exactly what happened. Faith was all they needed. That's all they needed. 13 times they encircled the city, showing their faith. God, rather than their own military might, is the one that made those walls come down. By faith, Israel overcame the world, their world of Egypt, Palestine. And then you think about Rahab the harlot. What about her? Now she's actually amongst the enemies of God's people. The people who have by faith gone through the Red Sea, by faith wandered through the wilderness, by faith they want to come into the promised land, and there's a couple of spies out there checking out the land, and they're going to get caught. And this woman, this harlot, by the way, decides she's going to help them. She's going to have faith in these people of God. She's going to have faith in the God of those people. And when we think about her, you know, she received the two spies and she put them up on the roof and hid them under the stalks of flax, till the soldiers left. Then when it was clear, she let them go. She would have paid a severe penalty of death had they caught her hiding the spies. But you know what's great is you read about in Joshua chapter 6 that she was rewarded for her goodness, for her faith. She was rewarded. When they came in and finally took over that city, they killed nearly everything, took all the goods and things. She was kept alive, her and her family, because of what she did. But you know what's more than that? I mean, that's a great thing. Look at her faith, did great things for her. But you know what's really great about it? Is that God put her name in this book. You know? And if we were to contemplate about that and think about, boy, God put her name in this book. By faith, verse 31 of 11, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, she's in the book. Boy, if we were to live 10,000 years and God decided to put in another word, would He put my name in that book? Would He put your name in that book? Well, I don't know, but I do know that there is something called the Book of Life up there in heaven. God's recording it. He's putting our names in there. As souls are saved, they're being recorded in this Book of Life. And so, yes, He has, I pray, all of our names as I look around the room in that book, and hopefully that book will be raised up by two names shortly. Rahab was in the book because of her faith. And I pray someday we'll all be able to say our names are in the book. The same. Continue. Faith in the promises. Okay? There's a land God promised. Genesis chapter 12. He promised Abraham that there would be a land. A great land. A land of milk and honey. He promised that there would be a nation established there. That there would be the people would cross over that Jordan River and they would take that land. They would be like the stars in the heavens by number. They did it. You know, there's not enough time as you think about this, the book of Hebrews, there's not enough time or space in this book for the author to describe the faith of all the people. Like Gideon, or Barak, or Samson, or Japheth, or like King David, or many of the prophets like Samuel, like Elijah and Elijah, there's There's not enough room to actually describe all that in the one book, but they point to one thing. They all had faith. And when you think about the author, it's just a simple list of heroes. These are people that are heroes because of their faith and obedience. And it's a summary list of what faith has accomplished. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 through 37 is just, it's that list. Through faith subdued kingdoms. Think about that. It's a list. They subdued kingdoms. When we think about subduing kingdoms, Joshua chapter 12, David conquering the neighboring nation, 2 Samuel chapter 5, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. Samuel as a judge. You know, when he worked righteousness, the people said of him in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and at verse 4, they said that you have not cheated or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything away from us. Work righteousness. Obtain promises, such as the nation of Israel leaving Egypt, crossing through that dry and arid land and for 40 years and eventually receiving the promised land, Joshua chapter 21. They received the promised. Stop the mouths of lions, right? Obviously, you're probably thinking, well, David, you know, we even talked about him a little bit this morning. David, you know, God stopped the mouths of lions because of his faith. But it wasn't just David. When we think about God stopping the mouths of lions, Samson was one. Samson, when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore a lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. You have to be strong to tear apart a goat. But to do that with a lion, and he did it as though the Scripture says he had nothing in his hand, just that much power from the Lord. And of course, David, when he was protecting his sheep, the lion came around and took the lamb. He chased after that lion. He took that lamb out of the mouth of the lion. Didn't he? And then what happened? That lion was struck and killed by David. It says David caught him by the beard. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Lion, yeah. Daniel in the lion's den, of course. Quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Right? Their faith. You know, you're going to kneel down. You're going to worship as we prescribe. No, we're not. And I'm sorry, King, but you know what? My God is able. And if we die, we die. And if we don't die, we don't die. But it's because of the Lord. And it's because of our faith. And that's all there is to it. End of subject. Okay, in the fire you go. And those three men went into that fire hotter than they've ever had it before. And you know who came out? Four men. We can't be 100% sure about that fourth man, but a lot of us believe that was the Lord Himself. Escaped the edge of the sword. David fleeing Saul. Elijah fleeing Jezebel. Elisha fleeing the king of Israel who wanted to murder him because he was good. Out of weakness, they were made strong, the Scripture tells us. You know, you think about that. Samson, he was weak, wasn't he? He was tied to those pillars. Made weak. He made some mistakes, but he prayed to God one more time, Lord. And God gave him the strength. He had faith, and he pulled those pillars down and all that stuff on top of him and killed all those of the enemy. And when you think about Samson, think about Hezekiah. You know, when you look at the life of Hezekiah, he was given like 15 years to live. He prayed to God for that. That's what was, he was on his deathbed. 15 more years, Isaiah chapter 38. And finally, of course, when we think they became valiant in battle. David. This morning we were talking about perspective. Here's perspective, David. Goliath. Right? David. Goliath. But David wasn't afraid. He became valiant in battle, that little ruddy young man. Valiant in battle. He faced David with all the courage anybody could muster because the courage came from his God. He's the one that made sure that the people and Goliath knew that the battle is the Lord's. This day the Lord's going to deliver you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. Jehoshaphat defeated Edom. Hezekiah. Listen, Hezekiah's faith led to the slaughter of 185,000 of the enemy. His faith led to the slaughter of 185,000 of the enemy. Well, how did he do that? This king. When you think about it, in verse 4, as you read about Hezekiah there, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, what happened? You read that the people, by order of Hezekiah, prayed because they had gotten this threat from Sennacherib. They prayed. And then you read in verse 15, you know what they did again? They prayed. Hezekiah, in light of that threat, prayed. And then you can go a little bit further down there in verse 19, in Hezekiah. You know what? Oh God, our Lord, pray for us. Save us. I pray. He says, save us from His hand. That was his prayer. And then what happened? God heard his prayers. Did Hezekiah have to go out and fight these 185,000 people, Assyrians? Did he have to send his armies out and maybe have some of them get slaughtered? No. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and at verse 20, no. 2 Kings 19, verse 39. It came to pass that in the night an angel of the Lord was sent by God, and he killed all those Assyrians, 185,000. His faith allowed him to just pray to God. And then he trusted God, and God came through. Through faith, women received their dead back to life again. Through faith, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, to obtain a better resurrection. And we're talking about faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Many, many saints before us, and not just in the Old Testament here, but in the New Testament times, have died because of their confession, because of their witness, because they would not accept deliverance. Their faith. Remember the words of Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, I read a paper from a brother recently that is kind of discerning because you listen to it and you're hearing the facts that we live in a world today where people have spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years of their life saying that God comes first. There's nothing that's ever going to keep me from worship. Do not forsake the assembly, as the manner of some is. And then a little virus comes along and you see one, two, three people. Fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. They didn't draw back. They didn't accept deliverance. They walked in by faith, accepted the torture, That's faith. Others, trials and mocking, scourging, chains and imprisonment. Jeremiah the prophet, Micah. Others were stoned. You know, they were stoned. And the Bible tells us they were sawn in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. Some wandered about, it says, in sheepskins and goatskins, and they were tortured. But finally, we see that these people received by their faith the reward. Certainly not the praise of this world as you think about it. They didn't get the praise of men, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and in caves like Elijah. And the truth, this world, it wasn't worthy of them. But they did obtain a good testimony. Hebrews 11:39. They received a good testimony of the elders. Well, Hebrews 11:2, we mentioned them earlier. No, we didn't. Hebrews 11:2, the elders. Hebrews 11:5, it was the Enoch, talking about Enoch. Receive a good testimony. And in their lifetime, they didn't receive the promise. They received some promises. Some of them saw the promised land. Some of them didn't. Some of them disobeyed God when He told them to go, and they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. Till all that generation passed. Joshua and Caleb, though, by faith, entered that promised land. And they didn't receive the promise. The Messiah hadn't come yet. It was the Christ that they were waiting for, perfection. They didn't receive that. Because the law couldn't make them perfect. We've studied some of that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and 10. You can read about that. But Christ can. And He did. And what they did not receive during their lifetime, they did at the coming of Christ. Those Old Testament saints who kept the faith, who walked in faith and obeyed the Lord. The Scriptures tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and at verse 15 that Christ died to redeem them as well. He was the mediator of the new and of the old covenant. Redemption for the first covenant and those who were called to receive the promise of eternal life, eternal inheritance. They did. And now they're made perfect. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Just read a couple verses as we close this out. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. Listen to what it says. But you have come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Remember, that's the book. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than of Abel. Man. Notice in verse 23, what does it say there? The spirits of just men made perfect. You see it? And as you know, those who in the past should not be made perfect apart from us because Christ hadn't come yet. It is such a powerful thing to think about the faith of these Old Testament saints and to try to relate some of these important things to our lives today. We're not going to be called on to see if God will stop the mouths of lions. I don't think we'll be called on to march around a city's wall and wait for it to fall down by the power of God. I don't think we're going to be called upon maybe to cross a river and go into a land and defeat the enemy. We're just called upon to walk by faith, not by sight. We're called upon to say, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. We're called upon to say, to live as Christ, to die as gain. We're called upon to walk in the light as He is in the light. To have fellowship with Christ and the Father and with one another. We're called upon to act obediently to the faith. The faith that says, you need to hear the gospel. You need to hear the words of God in order to have faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And then you have to believe what you're hearing at John chapter 8, verse 24. And as you continue down this road, you need to understand that you're a sinner. Repent or perish. Luke 13, 3. And Jesus, the Son of God, confess that before men. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And be baptized for the remission of sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be added to the church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and live your life faithful. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. There is no reason if you're in your sins not to repent. There's no reason if you've never been baptized not to do so now. The invitation is yours. If you have any need at all, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.